Welcome everyone to the Mongols preview show brought to you by Roughneck Scarves. I'm Justin from Mongols. Joining me today is Dan Indonino from the Unused Substitute Soccer Show. Dan covers the Riverhounds opponent this Saturday, the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Dan, welcome to the Mongols show. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you?
Good. Going good. So before we jump into our topic for tonight, let's set the stage a little bit. So the Riverhounds come off a tough 0-0 draw at home to Indy 11 last Friday night. The Rowdies come off a defeat at the hand of the Richmond Kickers, 1-0 on the road. Pittsburgh is currently sitting tied for second on points in the Eastern Conference. Tampa Bay sits in seventh place in the East with 12 points. The Riverhounds are still the only unbeaten team in the USL. So Dan, let me ask you real quick, what do you think about the Eastern Conference 7-8 games in? How do you feel like the table is shaping up?
I'll say the Eastern Conference has probably been the stronger conference in USL. I'm not too happy with how we're going, where we're at in the table or how it's going, but it's still early. I think you'll see in a couple more weeks, a bit more separation from, you know, the likely playoff teams and the rest of the conference soon. But it's still pretty tight. Like, I expect it to be, you know, that those top eight pretty swapping, going back and forth a bit through the year.
Yeah, for sure. And I think even like Charleston ripping off four straight wins and getting themselves into the top spot right now with Cincinnati, I think there's just, yeah, you never know. And with how quickly things can change with having only played the games that we have, it'll be interesting to see how it shapes out. But I do, like you said, I do think we'll start to see some separation in the next couple of weeks. So one other thing before we jump in, U.S. Open Cup starts for the USL teams this week. Tampa Bay has their midweek game against the Jacksonville Armada, and the Hounds will be facing the Erie Commodores. Dan, any quick thoughts on the Open Cup play and how that affects USL teams?
It's another game midweek, so, you know, you'll see some squad rotation, or you hope so, and it's, for us, we have to travel. It's about a four-hour drive, I think, about north, so that's, you know, travel time for these guys. Some of them will be playing today and Saturday, so it's a little bit more wear and tear. But the Open Cup's fun. Not that we've ever really made it too far. I think we've beaten Cincinnati once or twice and advanced to the second or the next round. But it's just a midweek game to tire those legs out on my old team here. Like,
that's true. I like it this early. I feel like having a lower division squad, even though we have to travel. Yeah, we have a two and a half hour drive to our Open Cup game. So yeah, it's another midweek game, but I also feel like it gives a chance for rotation and potentially some younger players getting some minutes, and some guys who generally only see time off the bench, maybe getting a start. So that's nice. It is tougher later in the season. Like, if your team makes it and starts playing some MLS teams, then you're having to decide, do you go for the win in the league game, or you try to play the MLS team? And so it makes a difference then. But I feel like early on it's nice because it does give some minutes for some young guys and some guys who may not start. So I do like that.
Yeah, definitely. I like to see some of the I think it's good for the USL teams that have the depth. I know
there's
smaller ones that don't have too much depth to rotate out. But I think like the bigger teams can do it, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah, to be fair, this is the first year I'm like kind of excited for it, because I feel like the last couple of years the Hounds haven't had the depth to do this. And so when they go to play a lower division side, they're still putting out their starting 11 every week, and it just tires everybody out. So this year I'm excited because we do have some depth. So we'll see. But we'll see how that maybe affects affects the game on Saturday night. So let me start with some questions about Tampa Bay from our perspective, and then I'll give you a chance to ask some questions about Pittsburgh. But I always like to start general because, you know, we don't live in your city. So just asking questions about what's the soccer culture like in Tampa Bay? How have you seen it grown over the past couple of years as you guys have been playing?
It's definitely grown a lot since it started. I mean, we started in a little baseball stadium with maybe like 1,000 fans, and we're up to, I think, averaging close to 6,000. We have our own stadium. I hate to say this, and, you know, when Rowdies fans listen to this, I'll probably get some stuff on Twitter, but Tampa Bay in general is a very weak sports market. it's very I would say it's a casual sports market. You know, outside of the Lightning, who are playing here shortly in the playoffs, but the rest of it's a very casual fan market, and you see that a lot with the Rowdies. There's the hardcore, the mob supporters, you know, like Matt and I, who do the podcast and whatnot. But there's a walk-ups account for most of the sale. It's like, hey, there's a soccer game going on. We see stuff. We go, and a lot of them come back. They go to a game. But so the culture is growing, but I think in Tampa Bay in general, it's a very casual sports market, and that's a challenge going forward. But it has. I mean, I live about 45 minutes to an hour north of the stadium, and there's a presence up here. If I wear a Rowdy's hat at work or something, there's people that comment about going to games. And so it's definitely has grown a lot in the 4 or 5 years that I've been involved.
That's good, because sometimes when I wear Hound stuff around Pittsburgh, people go, who? Who's that? You have a soccer team?
We used to get a lot of, oh, yeah, I remember them from the 70s.
And oh, yeah.
And I'm like, well, they're playing again.
So just like Indy 11, our opponent last week, you guys have spent time in both the USL and the NASL. What do you see as the difference between the two leagues?
Oh, man, I like the stability. Let's go there first. But I think USL is a lot faster. NASL was very slow and physical, in my opinion, and it got really boring at times. It was just this. It sometimes the schedule felt like a slog more than anything. There's a lot of variance with the teams here. I mean, even the MLS two sides, there's tactical differences. The youth speeds up the game. I'm sure people have their preference that they miss the NASL and whatnot, but I think the USL has been a more fun league to watch, especially, like I said, because of the variety here. It's just there's been teams that have played better against us, I would say. I mean, you can say the Cosmos had our number or whatever, but that's just I would say, you know, Charleston, Louisville, these different teams come and go. It's way more entertaining for me.
Cool. I like to ask that question just because, you know, we haven't really experienced the NASL at all. So I don't think even in the Open Cup we've played NASL teams. So it is interesting hearing the difference between the two leagues and trying to figure out, you know, what are the differences, because we haven't seen it. So looking at your season so far, the only really the knock on Tampa has been the disparity between home and road performances. Do you have an explanation for that?
Okay. So this has been a major talk on Tampa Bay Rowdy's Twitter and everything. Is even if you go back, like I will say, I was complaining about it on Twitter a little bit this weekend. But the Rowdy's themselves, they put a media guide together where you can go through their modern era history and everything. And if you even take out like Stuart Campbell's, like his tenure here, our home and away records are mirror images. I think I might even have the numbers right in front of me here. It's something like 55 wins, 38 draws, and 27 losses at home to 29 wins, 39 draws, and 52 losses on the road.
Wow.
Like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde through our modern history. We've been trying to figure out solutions, maybe, you know, putting younger midfielders in because teams in USL clog our midfield on the road and Joe Cole seems too old and slow. We did try that with Jack Blake, didn't work. Like, I honestly, it just feels like bad juju. Like, we just can't break this block against winning on the road. And it's mind-blowing. It's frustrating and mind-blowing.
Yeah, it is interesting because I feel like you hear a lot, like, good teams win at home and at least draw on the road. And that's what great teams do. And it's like, if you know, like you guys have had several 1-0 losses on the road and you turn those into draws and you're right up, you know, you've got those 3 points on Pittsburgh to be right in the mix again. So it's an interesting thing. I'm not meaning to trash your team at all. I actually have enjoyed Tampa the times that you guys have come and played. So, but you haven't scored in your last 3 games. All of those are on the road. So that may have something to do with it, but does that do to like the team that you have played, their defense, or is that a lack of attack from you guys?
I don't think you can credit Penn FC with defense.
I would never do that.
Exactly. So that game, I really don't have an answer. That was disgusting. I would say Charleston plays us really well. They press our midfield They've played us well, even here in Tampa when they came, or St. Pete, when they came down here. So I will credit Charleston with the team that like probably plays us the best in that. But against Richmond and against Penn FC, it was just us. We just couldn't do it. Like I don't even think we had a shot on goal, like on target in the Penn FC game. So it's, I mean, credit to them for being able to capitalize on their chances, but we just played like hot garbage.
All right. You guys have played some good teams, though. You beat the Monarchs, who are currently leading the Western Conference, 2-0. Lost to Louisville, 1-0. Lost to New York Red Bull, 5-0. So what do you feel like? Who do you feel like is the best team you've played so far? Who are the top teams you've kind of seen so far?
I mean, the Monarchs and Louisville are obviously, Louisville is the defending champs. Monarchs were what, the regular season champs last year. We had the luxury of playing the Monarchs here in down here in St. Pete. So at home, we can take anybody, as you know. The Red Bulls, like New York Red Bull too, they have our number. They beat us last year pretty badly up there. They beat us in the playoffs here in extra time. They won the league 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even though there's some rotation, but I think the Monarchs game was the most entertaining I've watched, and probably the best team that's been to Al Lang recently.
Yeah. You guys have a lot of experience. You have an experienced roster, lots of names that have been floating around. I've seen around some USL stuff. So who are kind of the players I'm looking out for on Saturday?
I mean, obviously, you got names like Joe Cole, Marcel Schaefer, Neil Collins on the back line. But going forward, if Joe Cole is playing, you want to look for him in that midfield. You'll have Georgi Ristov probably either at center forward or either on the left side. And obviously, Jochen Graf, who's been around USL for a little bit, could be leading that line. Leo Fernandez started the season very, you know, pretty hot there, right on Georgie's heels with goals. And Marcel Schaefer, man, he did it last year at the end of the season. He just put the team on his back and can just take over a game when he wants, and he's growing back into it. He seems to be a little bit of a slow starter, but he's starting to come around and wake up. He's the one that you want to focus on. He's fun to watch. When he's on his game, he's everywhere on that pitch.
Yeah. Yeah. So then just putting those players together, what kind of tactical style do you guys play? What are we looking for as far as tactics and style of play?
Stewart seems to go with either like a 4-5-1 or a 4-3-3, depending. I mean, it basically ends up the same. But he likes that lone striker. He likes to control the midfield with some speed on the wings to get and between the wing backs and either Georgie and Leo Fernandez or Junior Flemings and Leo with. But it's mostly control the midfield and pressure. Sometimes it felt like old Barcelona with the possession without purpose, where they might score one and then just lull you to sleep. We seem to do that a lot, and it never works on the road. So that's normally what we do. We're all kind of hoping Stuart Campbell, you know, gets a little experimental, because why not at this point? Like, we're home. We're trying to break out of this slump, you know, like try a little something different. It usually, like I said, it tends to be like a 4-3-3 or a 4-5-1.
All right, cool. Cool. Well, yeah, that gives us a good kind of, tutorial on what's going on in Tampa and kind of what to expect. I'll give you a chance to, for your listeners, ask some questions about the Riverhounds and see what, you guys can find out here.
I'm not trying to trash your team, you guys are unbeaten, but the opponents you've placed have been kind of weak, like Penn FC and things like that. Do you feel like you guys deserve the, like, or will continue the unbeaten run, or that it's, you know, you guys are like that top team that the record shows right now, or?
So a little bit of both. So I feel confident about our team. I like our chances to, I don't think we're going to go, you know, I don't think we're going to, you know, do what Barcelona is doing this season and lose them the second to last game of the season to lose our unbeaten streak. I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think we're a good team. I think we're a solid team. I do really love Bob Lilly and the way he coaches. I think he has the guys disciplined and kind of in position all the time. I feel like that is kind of his thing. And so I do like that. I also do look at our schedule and say, I acknowledge that we have not played the strongest schedule so far. You know, we've gotten to play Ottawa, Penn FC, TFC2 twice. And so we've had this string of games that we have played really haven't tested us all that much. Having said that, we have played Cincinnati to a 2-2 draw. We did play Indy 11 to a 0-0 draw. And we played Nashville to a 0-0 draw at the beginning of the season. So some of these teams that do have, Cincinnati has a decent attack and we were able to hold them to two goals and score two goals on them. And they were fighting back in that game. You know, they did have to come from behind to get that draw. So I do think that bodes well for us. I think in our game against Indy this past week, I felt like we were decently in control. I mean, they had their chances, we had our chances. If either team had taken advantage of any of those chances, then the story would have been different. But I felt like we were able to hold our own against both those teams. I do feel like our attack needs to come around a little bit to start beating some of these, New York Red Bull scores five against you guys. So I think some teams that can do that, we do need to be able to turn our attack around a little bit to score some more goals. But you have to like our goal differential too. So I'm kind of on the fence still a little bit. There are some question marks for me. Our goalkeepers are definitely a question mark for me. They haven't been tested too much this season. So there's still a question mark, but I think I do feel confident that we'll stay kind of in the mix of the top teams all season long.
All right. And who's leading your attack these days? I know you guys had a lot of turnover kind of this offseason. Corey Herzog's not there anymore. And so who should we look out for in the attack?
Yeah, I mean, so I would start, and the Mongols guys will be surprised that I'll start here, but I would start with Kevin Kerr. I mean, you know, he starts that attack from the midfield all the time. I feel like the last two games, we've been throwing him out at the 10, and I feel like that has been a good change for him. It puts him in the middle of the field, gives him a little bit better vision, more options, all of that kind of stuff. He had a couple of very close assists against Indy and just couldn't do it. And then the week before had a goal and an assist. So I feel like he's coming around into form, and I feel like putting him in the middle of the field rather than out left, as he was all season last season is a good change for him. Other than that, our striker starting for most of the season already has been Nico Brett. I think he's got five or six goals. I can't remember which, but he's doing well and putting balls away. Cristiano Francois on the right wing is just an absolute athletic freak speed demon. He just can run all game long. He just needs to figure out how to put the ball actually in the net. But as soon as he does that, I feel like Kevin on our Mongol show has said several times this season, if Cristiano Francois could ever figure out how to put the ball in the net, he'd be the best player in USL. But he just can't figure out that part of his game. We have other guys, Canardo Forbes, Ben Zemanski, Tommy Van Kiaziel. A lot of those guys are going to be in and around the box a lot of the game. So just trying to figure out, I think some of our midfielders and wide players just need to figure out how to find the net. Once they do that, I feel like our attack's going to be fine. But so the three players I give you, Nico Brett, Cristiano Francois, and Kevin Kerr are going to be the three names I give you.
All right. And you said your goalkeepers are a bit questionable, so that gives me a little hope for Saturday night.
Yeah, they're just they're young guys, haven't got a lot of experience. They've gotten minutes and different things like that. But I feel like our defense has been so strong this season. There's been several games where Indy didn't have a shot on goal. Penn FC, I think when we played them earlier this season, they had one or zero shots on goal. So we don't give up that many shots. So it's not a question of their performance thus far. It's more of a question of if our defense would fall apart in a game, would they be able to stand on their head. I think you look at a team like Nashville, and if they didn't have Matt Pickens as their goalkeeper, like, I don't think they'd have the draws and wins that they do so far. So I think, you know, that's my concern, is if our defense would ever fall apart in a game, would our goalkeeper be able to stand on their head and keep the game close?
Yeah, I mean, we're feeling, I mean, not to diss Cody Mizell, he's been standing on his head for us, but that loss of Matt Pickens feels, I feel that some days here.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. So let's do some predictions or keys to the game for Saturday night. So if the Rowdies are able to win on Saturday night, it will be because ..
They will definitely will control the midfield, play our possession game, and get some shots on target, I think. Joe Cole will have a Joe Cole game, and Marcel Schaefer's presence will be felt.
All right, so if the Rowdies lose, then it'll be because
we lost the midfield. If you guys can control the midfield and make the runs in on our right side of the defense, I think is the weakest side, especially with Karinga probably hurt and Lakweki playing at a position on the right back. If you guys can exploit that, I feel like you guys can take the game.
Yeah. So I'll give you a chance to ask the same questions of me.
All right. So if the Riverhounds win, it'll be because...
I think our attack has to put it together. I mean, I think that's what we have to do on the road. Like, we went into Nashville, got a 0-0 draw. That was a more defensive game. I think the Cincinnati game, we went into Nipper and just kind of went after it. And so I think that if we, you know, in that game, we got an early goal in the first 10 minutes. And, you know, so I think if our attack can kind of put it together, we can get an early goal, kind of put you guys in the hole to fight back. I think that bodes well for us. I think that's where we'll win the game.
And if you guys lose, it'll be because
I think one, either you guys have a Tampa Bay home game where you guys just dominate the game because that's what you guys do at home, and two, our defense just kind of lets up a little bit. I mean, I think our defense, on the goals that we've given up this season, I feel like our defense just blinks for an instant and just loses a runner. Somebody makes a good run in behind somebody, you know, something like that. I think, you know, in the TFC2 game that we won 2-1 a couple weeks ago, like, that late goal was just a defender had gotten subbed into the game and just lost a runner, and we gave up a goal. So I think it's going to be our defense kind of blinks a little bit, and then you guys just have a Tampa Bay home game like you should.
Yeah, or you hope.
You hope that you dominate the game at home, and that's what I felt with Indy 11 last week. I felt like we were at home. We should have been able to kind of take it to them. At least in the last 20 minutes of the game, we should have been running at them trying to score a goal. Just didn't really. So if we can, you guys should be able to play, dominate at home like you do most of the time. So let's just do a score prediction real quick and just a winner prediction. So all that into account, who do you think is going to win the game on Saturday?
I'm going to take the Rowdies 2-1.
That was almost going to be my prediction, actually. I'm a little bit scared that this could be our first loss. I don't think that'll be a bad thing. I feel like there's a little bit of pressure on our team right now building up of, like, we want to keep the unbeaten streak. And so it's like, we don't want to really go after a game because we don't want to lose it right at the end. But at home, you need to do that. So I feel like, we could probably lose this game. To be different, though, I'll take a 2-2 draw, and hopefully we can get a couple goals and maybe pull out a draw. But I do think, I actually, as disappointed as I would be in a loss, I don't think it would be a bad thing in the long term for us.
Yeah, get it out of the way early, I think.
Yeah, get it out of the way early. Just take the pressure off, and then, coming back, you know, we have a tight schedule here at the end of May, so coming back and trying to take it to some of those teams a little bit will be a good thing. So I'll take a 2-2 draw for now, though. Okay. So the Riverhounds take on Tampa Bay Saturday evening in St. Pete, Tampa area. It'll be 7:30 is kickoff time. Both teams will be on short rest with the midweek Open Cup game. Tampa will be back at home for, I guess, the first time in a month, right?
Yeah.
So that'll be a good thing. So I think it'll be a good game. In the 412 area, you can catch the Hounds on the CW or ESPN Plus. So thanks to Dan and Danino for joining us today. Dan, do you have some socials you want to plug for our listeners if they want to come check you guys out?
Yeah, the Unused Substitutes are on Twitter at Unused Subs Pod. Personally, I am at unsub underscore Dan. There's the website that is theunsubs.com. And I think we're on the podcast is on every social media with that same handle of the unsub, Unused Subs Pod, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all of that stuff.
Awesome. Awesome. So thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, that was fun. So go check out the rest of our BGN fam, including the Unused Substitute Soccer Show at bgn.fm. As always, thanks to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. Head over to iTunes, subscribe to the show, leave us a review, let me know what you think of the show. So thanks for joining us. Later.